I want to show you a few verses which teach us about something the Bible says that we are to do all the time. You know, when we think of a year, I haven't worked it out, but how many minutes are there in a whole year? You know, there are 24 hours a day and 365 days in a year. So that's a great number of minutes and seconds in this year. And there's something the Bible says, there are certain things the Bible says we must do all the time. Now when we look at these commands, many of us have been Christians for many, many years. And I want to ask you to examine yourself and see whether you have in the past taken these commands seriously, seriously enough to at least try to obey them exactly as written. Or have you in the back of your mind sort of made an assumption that doesn't really mean what it says, or that it's not serious if we don't obey? Well, then we're making the same mistake that Adam made. So the first one I'd like to turn to is Proverbs in chapter 23, where we read, even though it's an Old Testament commandment, yet we know that it applies to us in the New Covenant too. Proverbs 23 in verse 17. Live, in the latter part of that verse it says, live in the fear of the Lord always. Now, first of all, let's ask ourselves, does that mean that every single moment of this year, I must live in the fear of the Lord, in reverence for God, every single moment of this year? And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And in New Testament terms, it would mean what Paul says in Acts 24 in verse 16. If I live in reverence for God every single moment of this year, it will mean that I do my very best, like Paul says here in Acts 24 verse 16, to maintain a blameless conscience before God and before men. Always. He uses the same word there. Always. We're not saying that we'll never slip up or not make a mistake or never sin. To live in the reverence for God is not the same as saying I will never sin. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. The one who fears the Lord hates sin. He may slip and fall, but he hates it. And the proof that he hates it is in the fact that he always strives to maintain a conscience that is blameless before God and before men. Every moment, as soon as he is aware that he has slipped up, he immediately seeks to set it right with God, and he immediately seeks to set it right with man. And that's the mark of a man who's living in reverence for God all the time. As soon as he's aware, he doesn't wait. He doesn't postpone. The great danger of postponing something when God tells you to do something is that gradually our conscience gets hardened. When the Lord tells you to do something and you don't do it immediately, there is a certain hardening that takes place. If you've hurt someone and the Lord tells you to apologize or some money that's got to be returned and you don't do it immediately, the chances are you'll probably never do it because a hardening sets in. That's why he says, today, if you hear his voice, it says in Hebrews 3, don't harden your heart. Because as time goes on, you may not hear that voice. And you may think everything is okay. There are lots of believers in that condition. They have ignored the voice of conscience so often that some years later, when they haven't set something right with someone or with God, and they don't hear conscience troubling them, they think, oh well, everything is okay. Everything is not okay. Their conscience is dead. It stopped troubling them. And that's the great danger of neglecting the voice of conscience when it speaks to us the first time. Today, if you hear his voice, a couple of times in Hebrews 3 and 4, that verse comes. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Why is that? Because tomorrow, your heart may be so hard that you don't hear that voice. So that's a decision that all of us should take today. As we begin a new year, I'm going to do what Paul says he did. It was one of the great secrets of his life. Always to maintain a blameless conscience before God and before men. If we are proud, we will try to justify ourselves when our conscience convicts us of something. And we will say, no, we didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you may feel like that because your conscience has become hard. When a person's skin loses sensitivity, you can poke him and he doesn't feel anything. He's being honest when he says, I don't feel anything. Absolutely honest. He's not telling a lie. And some believers, when they say to me, I don't feel I've done anything wrong, they're absolutely honest. They've got leprosy in their conscience. They don't feel anything. They're not telling a lie. They really don't feel anything. But that's because for so many years, they have neglected their conscience. So when you say, I don't feel I've done anything wrong, you're absolutely honest, but you're also thoroughly deceiving yourselves. I don't know if some of you have come to that state. If so, it's pretty pathetic. But I personally feel that some in CFC have come to that state because I don't see a sensitivity to sin in some lives where even after a long time, you find that sensitivity hasn't come. And I don't believe they're telling a lie when they say they don't feel anything. They really don't feel anything, but they don't realize they're dead. It's like the story I heard of a man who was preaching in the open air and said, well, this burden of sin, Jesus can take it away. So there was one heckler in the crowd who was just trying to make fun. He said, what, preacher? I don't feel any burden of sin. What are you talking about? And he said, that's right. If you put a heavy weight on the chest of a dead man, he doesn't feel anything. So the fact that you don't feel a burden of sin just proves you're dead. So don't go by the fact, I don't feel I did anything wrong. Maybe. But it's probably because your conscience is so dead. In which case, you need to really go to God and say, Lord, please don't let that happen to me. And if it has already happened, please revive this dead conscience. Make it more sensitive so that the smallest little pinprick I will feel, just like you feel on your skin a little mosquito bite or a pinprick, ask God to give you a sensitive conscience this year. Is the greatest gift that you can ask God for. Don't ask Him for a promotion or a better salary. like a lot of Christians do, ask Him to give you a sensitive conscience and to show you whether in some areas your conscience has already died. A person's body may have leprosy only in certain portions. Other portions he feels it, certain portions he feels nothing. I don't want a conscience like that where some areas are completely dead. No. I want a conscience where I'm sensitive in every area. Immediately sensitive to sin, and I want to complete this year becoming more sensitive to sin than I am right now at the beginning of the year. I want to do that because I know that's the proof that I'm getting closer to God. I don't want to remain in the same class next year. I hope you don't want to remain in the same class. I want to discover before the end of this year certain things that are sin, which right now I don't see as sin. So, at the end of the year, ask yourself whether you discovered something in this year to be sinful, which right now you don't think is sinful. That will be one of the finest tests of spiritual progress.